This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
And only time that Dr. Birx and I went in and formally made a recommendation to the president to actually have a, quote, shutdown in the sense of not really shutdown, but to really have strong mitigation. We discussed it. Obviously, there would be concern by some that, in fact, that might have some negative consequences. Nonetheless, the president listened to the recommendation and went to the mitigation.
The President of the United States calls the shots. If we weren't here for the states, you would have had a problem in this country like you've never seen before. We were here to back them up, and we've more than backed them up. We did a job that nobody ever thought was possible.
All right, so you heard there the president not happy with something that happened with Dr. Fauci over the weekend and some questioning on one of the Sunday swirls, what I call the talking political heads on the tube. So we're going to dive into that, obviously. How you doing, America? Survive the weekend? Do you feel like we're getting through this? Are you social distancing, especially over the high holidays for our Jewish friends? And you go through Passover, and of course, Easter. And then there were services that were live streamed. There were parking lot services. There was the Pope. Talk about a stark contrast, all by himself, being flanked very far away by two cardinals as he performed Easter Sunday Mass, something I never thought that I would see in my lifetime, I can tell you that. Let's dive first into what happened between the Prez and Dr. Fauci, and now there's a Band-Aid over that, thank goodness, because I think he is the top doc. The president is the leader of the free world. He is right. He calls the shots. We do have the legislative section of the United States, of course, and the judicial, but the president is the executive. So here's what happened. There was some concern over a retweet, a presidential retweet about Fauci. So the White House was trying to stamp out all the speculation that the president was going to fire the top epidemiologist in the middle of this pandemic, which would have been a massive mistake. But there was a retweet about Dr. Fauci continuing to reverberate, as many of the president's allies and critics warned that such a move would be counterproductive. You know, this is this whole tug of war over what happened ahead of the pandemic and what's happening now. So there was big concern that he would get sidelined, maybe silenced in these big days that are leading up to the president making decisions about whether to encourage Americans to return to normal economic and social activities, which we're not doing now, bar a few states who have not done the stay-at-home thing, right? And then people who are not adhering to it, which maybe some of you fall into that category, perhaps not, because supposedly, and there's no way to 100% know this, look around you and you can see what you can see. I can tell you that where I live, I'm going to call it 80-20. 80% of the people I have seen when I've even driven it on a few couple of things, because I haven't done that much, obviously, tethered to microphones, research, all of that, speaking. But what I have seen is mostly people walk across the street, getting some fresh air, people adhering to it. But there were some that weren't. I saw people playing tennis. I saw people playing golf. I saw a group of people playing hoop not too far from where I lived. And I don't think they were all family members, because I want to say there was probably 25 people. So I'm calling it 80-20 where I live. But regardless, this is the concern. Have we flattened the curve? What areas have we flattened the curve? How do you decide what is normal economic activity and social activity, that is right. The president himself said it was the biggest decision that he was going to have to make. And when he walked in, he said during the White House daily briefing, "Today I walk in, I hear I'm going to fire him. I'm not firing him. I think he's a wonderful guy." So he jumped all over the press about that. But what happened was Fauci was asked on a couple of shows about what the coronavirus response, and his remarks to CNN, he said, were a poor choice of words. And he was asked whether this was being done under pressure, that he'd come out at the White House briefing and said, "Look, I was on CNN, it was a poor choice of words." He said he was responding to what the question was asked of him. And he said, "Everything I do is voluntary. Please don't even apply that." You know, he's been the top infectious disease doctor, official, whatever name you want to give him, since 1984. He's not a political appointee. He's not. And he's actually kind of shielded by a few layers of federal civil servant protections. So he could be removed, but he can't be removed without cause. And, of course, if he was dismissed, it would be subject to due process procedures if that were to happen. Now, Fauci could be reassigned within the National Institutes of Health or pushed aside from the task force that the White House has, and then he wouldn't have the influence there. That wouldn't happen. But apparently the time to fire Fauci now that was tweeted out and retweeted and all that kind of stuff was just pretty much thrown out on Monday. They downplayed the tweet and the whole shift blame and all this kind of stuff. And a White House spokesperson said even before they had hit the room to have the conversation on what was new with the coronavirus, that the media chatter is ridiculous and the President Trump is not firing Dr. Fauci. But it was the retweet that set off the rush to defend him, Fauci, that included Republicans, by the way, and Democratic lawmakers. And then there was a fresh round of attacks for some of the president's big backers on social media. Oh, my. Does everybody realize that we're in the middle of a pandemic? Has that been lost on some folks? Because I'm looking at what the death toll is in the United States. Let me give you the numbers. These are the latest numbers as of 20 minutes ago. So deaths, 23,604. Recovered, because I like to give that number, people who've recovered, 43,637. Confirmed cases overall out of those amounts I just said of COVID-19, 586,057. And we all by now understand the severity of this virus. It causes the respiratory illness, like the flu. You know, you get the cough, the fever, chills, sweats, all of that. But when you get to the point where you can't breathe and then you're waiting on test results, we know what's happened there. Oxygen, respirators. And the worst hit, New York. They crossed a very big milestone, 10,056 dead in New York. In New Jersey, 2,443. In Massachusetts, 844, because suddenly they're higher on the board. But really, third is Michigan. Over 1,600 people have died. Lainey Kazan is going to lighten things up for us. She's a great singer, has an incredible storied career. You may remember her as the mother on My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Hang with us.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube. From the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive. The list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club. All Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Politically speaking, and then a little of this or that. When I say this or that, which would you rather have? I've had plenty of people send me emails saying, hey, what else is going on in the world of politics? Is there anything else going on besides the politics of this horrible virus? And of course, this show, I always say, it's what you're talking about in your backyard, what I'm talking about in mine, and what does it mean to all of us? And this has affected us all economically. I shouldn't say all, but a lot of people economically, and our eyes are on what is happening. So a couple of quick things. Democrats win the Wisconsin race that Republicans insisted on holding despite the pandemic. Because remember that? There was the social distancing. People lined up to vote, people holding up signs, I'll die, but I'll vote first, that kind of thing. So what has now happened is that's it. It was a victory for the Democrats in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election that they wanted to hold. So a liberal judge, Jill Korski, I think it is, defeated conservative Justice Daniel Kelly, who was an incumbent that was backed by the president, in a race for a 10-year seat on the Supreme Court, the state's Supreme Court. So that's one of the things that's happening politically. The other thing, of course, Joe Biden, we know for the Democrats, is the nominee. There's more speculation about what woman is he going to pick as his running mate, because he did say he was going to pick a woman, and the speculation is heavy that Kamala Harris, the senator from California, could be his VP pick. Then the other thing that would affect all of us, because there is the question mark of the virus and the thought that there could be a second wave that could come back in the fall, depending on how we're doing the social distancing, depending on vaccines, antibodies, all that kind of stuff. And now there's the push for mail-in voting and early voting because of the coronavirus. Michelle Obama, the former first lady, and a nonpartisan organization she co-chairs, threw their support behind some Democratic legislation that wants to expand access to that mail-in voting. She said in a statement, Americans should never have to choose between making their voices heard and keeping themselves and their family safe. Expanding access to vote by mail, online voter registration, and early voting are critical steps for this moment, and they are long, long overdue. Is that something that happens? This is another wait and see, because we saw that one election took place during the pandemic, the one I just mentioned, the voters in Wisconsin wearing face masks, doing the social distancing, but they took part in the state's primary last week. And there still is some time and some more debating, I think, that will happen before the decision comes down onto us, the people, as to whether or not we will be voting that way. And, you know, again, it's the question mark that we live with. You know what the word is? The word for 2020 is flexibility and sweatpants, right? I saw a great graph the other day, because you have to find the humor in this, that what are the odds that most people at some point when you're talking to them, whether it's a business conversation or not, are wearing sweatpants? They're selling out in sweatpants, meaning when you're ordering them online, they're selling them out. Because everybody's exercising? No, because everybody is in them all day long. We don't know what will happen when things reopen, when they reopen, if it's gradual. I like what Governor Cuomo said in his briefing. And I understand this because in our minds, and listen, I'm the dreamer, optimist, glasses half full. Wouldn't we like to just flip on the light switch and start to hug everyone and just do what we normally do and not think about it? There's no mask involved. There's no anything. We just go out to our car. We just go do what we normally do. Oh, we go to the car wash. We sit down, have a cup of coffee in the dirty coffee pot that they have at my corner car wash. But I love all the people in there. But you know what I'm saying. We do what we normally do. We go to the donut store. We grab some donuts and tell everyone we didn't eat them. But no, right now we can't do that, or we shouldn't do that, especially if we're in an area where there is no question social distancing matters. And is there an area where it doesn't matter? There are lots of arguments about that. But there is definitely some evidence that shows that there are places who are paying attention to the stay-at-home orders, and they're showing that the numbers are a lot better. And you know what? It's interesting to say, because we're over the 10,000 dead mark for New York City, but New York City, Seattle, New Orleans, and San Francisco are four cities with substantial numbers of coronavirus patients, or certainly early in the outbreak, that mandated, yes, stay-at-home orders mid to late March. In those four places, close to 80% of the people were leaving home on February 26th. By April 1st, that declined between 20 percentage points and 40 percentage points in each city. So mobility decreasing every time a new social distancing order was issued. Bans on mass gatherings, restaurants, school closures, all that kind of stuff. And they didn't leave their home at any point for any reason. They didn't go outside. That's significant, is what they're saying, that enough people did it, because there were certainly some that didn't. But there were enough people that did it, that there was data that was collected from a company called SafeGraph. And the CDC looked at phones. Check it out. They looked at phones, tablets, watches belonging to between 3.6% and 6.4% of the population in each city. So anyone who took a long walk during the day would be counted, actually, as not staying home, although that could be safe depending on where you live, right? But they determined that San Francisco, has not seen the expected surge of coronavirus patients, and hospitals haven't had the difficulty coping with large numbers of emergency room visits or stays in the intensive care unit or any of that kind of stuff. The rise in the number of patients in New York, coronavirus patients in New York, starting to slow. And they feel like that the stay-at-home order is helping, but very cautiously saying, don't open this back up again. And you've heard many times the CDC director, maybe you haven't, so I'm going to tell you first. Dr. Robert Redfield has said the most powerful weapon against the coronavirus is social distancing rules. Stay at least 6 feet apart from each other. And he says we're not defenseless. This virus has a very significant weakness. It can't swim 7 feet. That's why that's so important, because the more that happens, the faster we won't be able to turn on the light switch and just all rush to our cars and go out and go to the movies and be jammed into restaurants again and all that kind of stuff. But slowly, some of our life activities will come back to us. And the hope is by the end of the month, they can look around and say, okay, there's some things we can pull back on. What can we pull back on? Or do we need to hunker down in certain areas on certain things? It's not going to be an immediate resurgence. And doesn't that make sense? It's all very, very strange. But I will say this again. If you have not heard me say this, or you just are listening for the very, very first time, in 1918, the flu pandemic killed so many people in the United States, including my great-grandmother. I know very little about her. My grandmother was 7 months old when her mother died from the pandemic. And this was a pandemic that lasted from January 1918 to December 1920, infected one-third of the world's population, or about 500 million people, leading to about 50 million deaths, about 500,000 of which were in the United States, including my great-grandmother, who was in that group of people. And needless to say, I am trying to find out more about her. I certainly know plenty about my family and my grandmother, but my great-grandfather moved on with his two daughters, one of them being my great-aunt and my 7-month-old grandmother, devastated by her loss. And that's all I really know. None of you want to be in that situation. Mailbag coming up next. Hang with us, people.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Some people may think it's going to be like a light switch on and off. You know, we're either out and we're in. It's just not going to be that way because we have a very large country.
Dr. Anthony Fauci at the daily White House coronavirus briefing explaining to the American people the process in which it will be determined how we can all get back to work. Fauci says it will be based on the medical data.
And there are different impacts. As you see, New York is very different from other parts of the country, from the Midwest, from the Mountains.
mountain region, California and Washington, different than New Orleans. So as we discuss and consider the public health aspects, it likely will be something that I refer to as sort of like a rolling reentry. It's not going to be one size fits all. So I don't know what it's going to be yet because we still have time to look at it. There will be recommendations that will be based purely on public health.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You got to have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail, man.
Do we all feel like that? Are you in sweatpants right now? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. So it is our mailbag, and thanks to some of the new people popping up, you can always shoot me your emails, your thoughts at katedelaneyradio.com. KateDelaneyRadio.com. So let's talk about this one from Max. And Max says, wow, Kate, I feel so awful every time I read about these nursing homes. And I think anybody who's ever had to put their loved one in a nursing home and they religiously go and see them and care what happens have to be freaked out. I don't care what pictures they show us of people looking cute in the window and banging on the outside, showing babies, showing animals, showing signs, which I think is terrific. How horrifying would it be to get that phone call that the person that you love, Nana, Grandma, Mother, Father, Grandpa, Uncle, Aunt, is in a nursing home and they have passed away and they were relatively healthy before that. In fact, they were calling bingo and singing karaoke. You know what? I'll tell you what was really chilling to me. Thanks for that, Max. I think it is terrible. What is interesting is, of course, it's not just older people, although in the beginning, especially the conversation was about older people and the vulnerability absolutely is still there. But how about the story about 42 people in a Virginia nursing home near Richmond have died from COVID-19? 42. So at least 127 out of 163 at a place called Canterbury Rehab and Healthcare Center have tested positive for the new coronavirus in the last couple of weeks. Wow, that is tough. Tough news to deliver. Sad, twisted, unbelievable. I mean, we're fighting a war, and that just shows you right there. 35 people on the staff have tested positive for the coronavirus. So there's the other part of it. They're going to fall short of staffers. And once we get through this, because life will change, right? It has to. I mean, get vaccines, antibodies, all that kind of stuff. I get it. But think about people wanting to work in that profession, which some of the loveliest people I've ever met. I can remember my great-grandmother was in a place, and I'm sure some of you have these stories. I was a kid. I was like in high school or first year of college. I can't remember. But I remember going with my mother several times, lots of times, because she was close to my great-grandmother, not the one who died in the pandemic, but the other one. And we go to see her, and the people around her were wonderful. And there was no choice. Once she got into her 90s, she could not live on her own, and she could not be taken in. She really had to be in a place that it was fabulous. And the people were great. Can you imagine getting this news? Can you imagine working and wanting to do this? This is your life's purpose. You really want to do this. And now you're not only losing people you've cared for, but your life massively in danger. And you have your own family to worry about. It is a rough choice, and it's just another reminder of everybody on the front lines. All right, let's go to the next one. This one is from Tom, who says he's listening to us. You guys are picking up on some of the stuff I'm saying. In the great state of Arizona. And he says, Kate, have you noticed that Arizona has become a plane parking lot? I know that you pay attention to aviation, and I just think it's so interesting because what's had to happen is that so many of the big airline carriers have to land their planes in the deserts and bury them, basically. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. It's wild that you say that, actually, because I've got an app, or the Hubs has an app. It's not me. I used to have an app, but he's got it now, where you can look at the flights. It's this, I forget what it's called, Flight 24/7, I think. And it's really cool. You can watch the flights of somebody coming in, and we would watch it when somebody was coming because we could see the plane. Okay, now they're close to Dallas, or you're flying into New York, or wherever you're flying, and anywhere in the country. So now you've got in the desert north of Tucson, planes landing one after another. And Marana is where we're talking about in Arizona. And I thought, wow, I'd love to fly over that and get a shot of it. In the last couple of days, planes landing, one after another from all over the place. And what it is they're just parked. I mean, that's what it is. Delta flight, pick whatever you want. American, etc. I mean, they're just parked there because they're storing the flights. They're storing the planes because they're not flying. What are you going to do with the planes? Where do you take them? And the answer to that is that's where there's different areas in the desert where planes are going, and that is one of them, a Delta fleet. It's really Delta. The Delta fleet is going there in Marana, Arizona. So all of a sudden, I saw a shot. It was a wild shot, too. I saw a shot of the mountains. It's so timely to say this. I saw a shot of the mountains and the beautiful sky, clouds. And then all you saw was plane after plane after plane that's parked there. And that's exactly right. That's what they're doing, because how many are they running at this point? And, Delta, United, other airlines, their largest planes are not flying. They're being parked because you've got the flight cancellations. And it's interesting with the airline industry, just a quick aside, they're all doing things, of course, to entice people to eventually come back. American, for one, what they're doing is anybody who had any kind of elite status, anything, it's being extended for 24 months because they realize they want to get people going back and flying on their airline once they go back and fly. All right, let's go to this one. This one is from Mac Attack. There is two Macs, actually, so maybe that's the how to differentiate them. Mac Attack says, hey, Kate, so sorry that I haven't emailed you or even tried to call the show. I promise I will call, but I have been busy paddling as fast as I can, trying to keep my head above water, if you know what I mean. And I think a lot of my pals are in the same scenario, even though we might have saved money and we might have paid attention to what was going on. We're watching what's happening with the stock market and everything else. So I don't think anybody can afford to not paddle fast, right? By the way, he says, by the way, P.S., I work for Disney. You know, other than that, I don't know what area of Disney, but Disney did announce that they furloughed like 40,000 people. I think it was mostly people that were all over the park, but any people connected to Disney, I'm sure, are going to be in a situation like that. Because, you know, you look at the parks and what the parks do. You look at movies and what the movies do for Disney. I mean, they've got Marvel and Star Wars are huge. You know, that's huge in the media business. And then, of course, what they've done at their parks and what they're known for doing. And now, because of the pandemic, things have flipped in a much different, you know, direction. And, you know, even have a Disney had to close its Shanghai theme park because of the coronavirus in January. And you, of course, have what's happened in the United States, and like every other company, it's bleeding right now. And there, when you're talking about entertainment, when do they open things back up again? And then plus there are Disney cruise ships. You knew that, right? There's even a new Disney. There's a bunch of new cruise ships that are under construction in Germany. Then ESPN, which, of course, is sports. We're in a sportsless world right now. Who would ever think that? People who hate sports and could care less and don't know the teams, this is like a fantasy in a sick, sad way. So I don't mean that because none of us want to be in this pandemic. But I mean it in the sense that there is no sports, none. And normally that there's always something happening. So ESPN is getting crushed, because normally you'd have so many eyeballs on lots of entertainment from Disney, including what's going on in sports. So naturally they had to furlough workers, and the company employed over 200,000 as of last summer, and they're not saying the exact amount that they had to furlough, but 30,000 workers in California alone. And then 43,000 in Florida, so even more than I thought, are furloughed too. The workers get their benefits, but their last paychecks are April 19th. So at least they get them up to the 19th. Probably some of them would be eligible for the stimulus, and probably some of them are filing for unemployment. All right, let's go to another one quickly. This one is from Nancy, and Nancy says, hi, Kate. I just wanted to brighten your day. Have you noticed what people are doing to pass the time? They're actually spending time with their families, and some of it's kind of funny to see all of the calls with people on Zoom and to see how they're celebrating parties by doing drive-bys and some of the few social distancing outdoor activities. I think, in a way, we'll come out of this much more connected. What do you think? Oh, I think so, too. Those who don't perish will certainly be much more connected. Hang with us.
Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
And I hope that won't happen. I certainly hope that won't happen, but it does weigh on my mind.
All right, that's the president, and he's talking about reopening too soon, that it does weigh on his mind. He does not want to do that. Of course he doesn't, because we do not want to see what has happened in the past in other places where they've dealt with a pandemic and couldn't really squash it and saw it jump back up again. And from everything we know about COVID-19, the concern is exactly that. We don't know what happens first of all, as we get through this, but when we come through this, even now there's discussion of, okay, if you had COVID-19, can you get it again? There's just a lot of unanswered questions, medical questions. Brilliant scientists are working on this. I really trust in that, but how long until we have answers? You know, that's, again, that giant question mark. We don't know. Look, millions of students are not in school. People are working from home. Life is very, very different. Trying to figure out, well, you know, what's going to happen in the fall. My nephew and a niece were supposed to graduate at the end of May, and they will graduate, but they won't have a graduation ceremony. Both have been accepted into schools, but they might start while, you know, at home where they're online. They, you know, they don't know the answers to those questions. And it's interesting in missing people and talking with my family on Easter. We did a group collective call, and it was really fun and took on a whole new meaning, I think, because we hadn't seen each other's faces in a while. And My nephew said that he wanted to get on his bike and just ride to the great state of Texas. And I said, well, I don't think your parents are going to let you ride your bike because that's not happening. Anyway, the idea being that he missed us and wanted to come and see us, and we get it. I mean, we're all feeling it, absolutely. But we don't want to, and as the president said, even in when he's asked this, we're vulnerable. I mean, we're vulnerable as to when does it open, when does it not open, when is it safe, what do we see? It's almost like opening the lid a little bit. Or I was thinking about this today in watering something. It's like when you have a faucet, right, or you have a hose, and you open it a little bit versus full-on spray. So I think the cautious way to do it is probably what's going to happen. Even Fauci said that. It's not like a light switch is what he said, and what Cuomo said, the same thing. He repeated it. You can't just turn it on and off. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that? So we don't know how what happens. We don't know how quickly that happens. We do know risk factors for COVID-19, and there's more studies being done. In two new studies, NYU researchers found that risk factors like age, obesity, chronic illness, that can lead to an increased risk of hospitalization. And in one of the biggest data reviews on COVID-19 cases so far, researchers from the Grossman School of Medicine, which of course is at NYU, found, and there they are in New York City, found that age and chronic illness like heart disease, diabetes, obesity were the leading factors that led to hospitalizations for COVID-19 patients. They looked at over 4,000 patients from March 1st through April 2nd, and it's under peer review, and it's been pre-published actually online. So some of this we've heard. They're looking at risk models and all of that and trying to really wrap their arms around this, get a handle on some of the data. And researchers found that patients under 60 who were considered obese by BMI standards were almost two times as likely to be admitted to the hospital for acute and critical care. So think about the number in the United States. That number is like 40% of the adults in the U.S. Are on the obese range, and that is one of the big risk factors that they're talking about. But then you hear stories about like this North Carolina woman who got coronavirus even though she stayed home for 3 weeks leading up to her diagnosis, and said it's the sickest she's ever been and the most scared that she's ever been. Now, she has an autoimmune disorder, and she last left her home in Charlotte, North Carolina, for a trip to the pharmacy in mid-March. But because of that condition, Rachel Broomer, her name is, kept her distance from everyone, including her husband, who lives in a separate room. That's what they decided to do to be safe. And on one occasion, I guess, a woman who has since tested positive for the illness dropped, because they tried to trace this, dropped off groceries on her doorstep. So she didn't come into contact with the woman, but she retrieved the bags of food from the porch without gloves. And see, she said, listen to that. She said she thought she was doing everything right. And she said she's never had anything like that before. Never had the flu. She said it's not the flu. It's like a whole different monster that she even had a hard time describing. So there's the warning. There's a cautionary tale. Does everything. Whew, careful, 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 careful. And then, boom, groceries get dropped off, picks them up, no gloves, and there you go. And people complain about, I got to pull everything in and cover it down and wash it off. And, man, it is scary. And I think a lot of people are ordering groceries that way. Of course, they're doing online grocery, and then it gets dropped off. But even now, that's so backed up, you know, at this point. And this is what we're living with. I mean, these are stories that are interesting stories to pay attention to as just kind of cautionary tales, I think, as to what's happening with potential for getting the virus when you think you're okay. All right, here's something that I think is very smart. To me, it's always about the collective and sharing, and I think it's peer-to-peer. I call them peer-to-peer advisory groups, right? Don't you want the smartest people around you when you've got a big decision to make? Of course you do. And, you know, the president has talked about making the big decision, and governors in all these states have had to make big decisions. And governors that are in close proximity with each other are talking about forming groups where they're making decisions on what they're doing. So on the West Coast, the governors of California, Oregon, Washington have a pact to work together to tamp down the outbreak and restart carefully the economy in their states, because like they're saying, COVID-19 doesn't follow state or national boundaries. It's going to take every level of government pulling together to get a picture of what's happening on the ground. And they're doing the same thing in some other areas too, pulling together to try to figure out, especially with the, you know, states that are very, very close to each other, as to what they could do to help as far as deciding when to make that decision. I mean, governments and companies have a difficult choice. You either reopen with, you know, lots of hygiene controls, you return to work with, I don't know, fewer controls and accept the risk of a second wave of infections. There isn't a silver bullet yet. And until you've got a vaccine, it could take a year or longer. So this is what other countries are wrestling with. Look, in Spain, thousands of construction, factory, and office workers, along with some others in non-essential businesses, went back to work, ending a two-week hibernation in a country where COVID-19 has, guess what, killed more than 17,000 people. Bars, restaurants, hotels, sports centers, shops, and leisure venues were closed, but other offices were opened. And in Rome, they're scared to death. The numbers are lower. That's good news. But they're uncertain as to what they're calling when normal life could resume again. And France announced they're locking down for a month until at least May 11th. So there are big decisions, absolutely, that will be made sometime in the near future. Thanks to all of you for listening to this show. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, as I said before, during our mailbag segment, katedelaneyradio.com. Be safe, everyone. Mahalo.
Crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.